Friday night, I couldn't sleep, and Cindy was at Jean's, and so I turned on late night TV, right? And so as I'm surfing through late night TV, I came across this Marky Mark Wahlberg movie called Shooter, right? You know, just, you know, one of those, you know, high caliber movies. That's a joke, you know. But anyway, I practiced that all morning too. Could you believe it? It was entitled Shooter. And it appears, you know, Mark, you know, Wahlberg, you know, his character, it appears that he was being framed for murdering like some foreign dignitary, you know, with this crazy long shot. And then there was a villain, you know, and this villain was a senator, as he said. His name was Ned Beatty, you know, that's his real life name. I don't know what his name was in the movie, but you know, he was this guy who was orchestrating all of these deaths in the name of money, right, throughout the world, right? And so this foreign dignitary just wrote, he kind of got onto it. And so the senator had him eliminated. But before Ned Beatty had his comeuppance, he gave a lecture on being right. Right? Not on the truth, but on being right. And he said this. He said, "The truth is what I say it is." Man, that really kind of struck me, you know. I couldn't help but see the reality of that statement played out in today's culture. So I'm going to just give you some, and I'm not drawing any political lines. What I'm doing is I'm just going to say them as I see them played out. To some, the truth is Russian collusion. To others, truth lie in there is no Russian collusion. To some, our president is the embodiment of evil. And then to others, he is a portrait of freedom. And I think about that line in the movie where Ned Beatty's character says, "The truth is what I say it is." I think part of the reason about all of this is that we have this desire to be right. You see, I've been around a long time now, you know, and I kind of think we have this need, this inherent need to elevate ourselves above others, above the person next to us. And so I'm reminded of this apprentice bricklayer that used to work for me way back in the 90s, and his name was Carl. And one day, you know, I was showing Carl just a simple thing, you know, Gary will understand this, just how to spread mortar. So I was showing him how to spread mortar on a block wall and how to make, you know, his movements a little more efficient so he could be a little quicker at it. And man, this guy was like really getting upset with me, you know, and I realized he didn't want me telling him what to do. But, you know, I mean, it was my job. I mean, it was my business and I was trying to teach him something. So I said, "Carl, I'm just trying to teach you something. I'm just trying to teach you a more efficient way to work." And you know what he said? He said, "I don't mind learning. I just don't want to be taught how to do it." That's the truth. Which led to a discussion that day on truth and knowledge. So as Carl was defending himself, this is what he said. He said, "My dad said there are three different kinds of knowledge. There's opinions, there's true facts, and there's false facts," he said. And so as I was just trying to figure out where that played out of just trying to help this guy learn how to spread mortar, I never really came to where that fit in, but that conversation began many years of needling about the different degrees of facthood at Donovan Leach, Inc. For a long time, it was appropriate to punctuate something important by adding, "and that's a true fact." And if we didn't really believe something, we'd say, "that's a false fact." And, well, we had some other things about opinions that really we can't talk about here. But what is truth? See? What is truth? Pilate's words just jump right off the page. What is truth? You know, what is truth is one of my favorite questions in the Bible. Each day, like it or not, we are presented with this very same question. What is truth? you pick up a newspaper, well, not a newspaper, you read the news online, and you know, you go to two different news outlets, two polar opposite reporting. What is truth? Each and every day, we are presented with that question. And as I said earlier, we all have, if we're honest, we all have a version of truth. You know, we see, say, something like we see a different color balloon, and we all believe that we're right on the color. So what is truth? And consider this picture right here. You know, one sees a red balloon, and one sees a green balloon, one sees a yellow, but then there's always one or two people that just see things in black and white. What is truth? We all believe that we have it. We all believe that our perspective is right. But everything gets so darn confusing. And I don't know about you, but I was hoping as I grew older that confusion would be less part of my life. But every day I become more and more and more confused about the world I live in than I was the day previous. What is truth? You know, years ago, when I was in college, I had this class. It was called Global Evangelism, and this idea about we all have this idea of truth, you know, that we have the right one, really became clear to me there in that class. We were studying Islam in this class. And we found out that there were 2 billion people in the world today that without hesitation, that they would say they know the truth about God. That's the Christians. We would say we know the truth about God. One of the goals of this global evangelism class was to understand Islam in such a way that we could convince them of the truth and save them from an eternity in hell. But then I found out there was 1.57 billion Muslims in the world that know without hesitation that they know the truth about God. So much so that they would see us all dead because in their minds we dishonor God with our version of the truth. So what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus this very question. Now, I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but you know, Pilate wasn't the first guy to ever ask that question. What is truth? Fact is, what is truth is a question that's been debated for years. It was debated in Athens 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And we don't need to be reminded this morning that that question is still being debated today. See, the world is filled with people trying to figure out whom to believe. And frustration begins to build when one person claims that above everybody else that they have the version of truth. And then someone else hands down an entirely different opinion, and the conversation gets muddied, and so what is truth? Why did Pilate ask Jesus that question? That's what I want us to consider today. Why did Pilate ask Jesus the question, what is truth? And to kind of make this more clear, we have to just think about the chaos surrounding the situation that Jesus and Pilate found themselves in. You see, the Jewish authorities, right, had just arrested Jesus and they brought him before Pilate, demanding that he be put to death. He's a vast blasphemer, they claim, because he says he's God. But more importantly, and I think this is more important for Pilate's sake, he claims to be a king. And everyone knows there's no king anywhere in the world other than Caesar. And then there's a group firing back claiming that Jesus is innocent, and they're giving their version of the truth. And all I can think of, what a crazy scene that must have been that morning. Confusion abounded. The waters were muddied. And Pilate needed more information, right, if he was going to put somebody to death. Right? There needs to be more information before you just put somebody to death. So he hears the evidence. He makes a decision. Now, he kind of thinks, I believe, that Jesus might be a little bit out there, but he's not guilty of any crime. You know the story. We read about every Easter how this enraged the Jewish leader, and they replied like this, that Jesus is a person who could do great harm to Caesar's authority. First off, right? Hey, we're not thinking of ourselves, but we're thinking about Caesar, right? Trying to win position and power within their position. And then he says, and besides, it's going to really hurt our religion. But that's secondary, Caesar, because we're more worried about Caesar and Rome before we're worried about our faith. I mean, he's saying he's king. You got to get rid of him. And they just begin shouting, crucify him, over and over again, crucify him. And when Pilate saw the hatred the Jews had for Jesus, he took him into his living room and he asked him straight out, he said, are you a king? Now, I want you to listen to how Jesus replied. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But know that my kingdom is from another place. Well, then you are a king, said Pilate. And Jesus continued, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world. Now listen, to testify to what? The truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And then Pilate asked that all-important question, what is truth? We need to be people of truth. And as I was thinking about that and people of the truth and in preparation for this message, I really do believe that God spoke to me. I believe that he really did speak the early Saturday morning deep down into my spirit. And I think God wants us to know that the question that Pilate was asking wasn't the right question. I believe he wanted Pilate, you know, to ask a different one. I think God wants us to know that the Greeks were asking the wrong question and that we have been asking the wrong question. The question is not what is truth. I want you to get this. Rather, the question for all of us, including Pilate, is who is truth? Friends, we're to be people of the truth. How do we become people of the truth? By following the one who is truth, and that is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is truth? Man, if only Pilate would have realized that truth was standing right there in front of him. You know, I couldn't help but thinking even this morning that what clarity would our lives have if we all understood that the truth was Jesus and he's standing right here in front of us saying, hey, let me turn on the light switch. Let me enlighten you. Can you just imagine? You know, many years ago, there was this bishop who lived in England. His name was Riley. And listen to what he wrote. He wrote, the cynic believes that there's no such thing as truth. That all religions are false. That life is all that we have to care for. And that all creeds are only words and superstition which no sensible person would attend to. It is precisely the state of mind in which thousands of great and rich men in every age have lived and have died. Think of that, because that sure sounds familiar to me. Man, isn't Bishop describing us today? Think of some of the comments that each of us hear from friends of family. And I just heard some there over the past week. I'll take as much of Christianity as my mind can handle. Truth to me is what has been proven to be true. So I'll give a little example what that means. We all have a good friend. His name is Dr. Tulloch. And surely Dr. Tulloch can say antibiotics cure an infection, right? And all of us would agree with Dr. Tulloch because it has been proven by science over the course of many years that antibiotics will help us get better, will cure an infection. And this proof makes it true in a way that our mind can understand. So without hesitation, when Dr. Tulloch prescribes us an antibiotic, we take it in confidence that we're going to get better. But someone else might say this: my experience, my perspective has taught me what truth is. I used to say this: I didn't go to college, I graduated from the school of hard knocks, and that's my truth. This train of thought then begins to say that truth is subjective. It says that there's no such thing as objective truth. So with this in mind, we all have different ideas about what is right and what is wrong. So you see, I see a red balloon and you see a blue balloon, and you know, that's just okay. Sounds, I believe, you know, all very nice and it gives us warm fuzzies, but it leaves, now listen to me, it leaves our society, and this is what really is important here, loved ones, in today's religious, political, cultural climate, it leaves our society with no agreed upon rights and wrongs. Each one of us must decide for ourselves what is good and what is bad. Now, I don't know about you, but like I said earlier, I've been around a little while, and I believe this breeds chaos in our world, in our families. So for you and for me, let's say that human life is held in high esteem, but for many others, it seems very cheap. I believe this is the problem we as a country have when we deal with people across cultural barriers. We have different ideas, right, about the value of a person's life. So again, what is truth, right? Each of us believes our answer is the right answer, and by golly, you're not going to change my mind. I'll fight you. I'll argue with you. I will unfriend you. No longer are you on my Facebook page if we differ, if you don't have the same answer, if I am not right in the things that I tell you. But, there's always a but, I want to encourage you that there's good news here today, okay? For you and for me, for the Christian, there is an answer to the question, what is truth? And the answer to the question about what is truth is Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His teachings, man. And if you've read your Bible lately, you will know that His teachings often reveal truths that go way beyond the things that our little minds can comprehend. You see, these truths, these divine revelations are here. Do you guys remember the story of Lazarus? Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's in John chapter 11. It begins with three very close people who lived in Bethany: Mary, Martha, and of course, Lazarus. Well, the story goes like this. Old Laz got very sick, and Martha sent for one of her best friends whose name was Jesus, fully expecting Jesus to just drop everything and come and to heal her brother, right? But for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe the Patriots are playing. I don't know. But Jesus didn't get there right away. And as a result, Lazarus had died by the time he got there. And the funeral had already taken place. And there was this big old stone rolled in front of the tomb. And there was this seal upon it. Grief-stricken Martha said to the Lord, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus replied, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, you know, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last of days. It's as if she were saying, I know what you're telling me. I mean, I've been taught this by my rabbis over the years. But Jesus, she's thinking, I need more than mere promise of words. It was as if she were saying, I need some action here. The situation is hopeless here. I need you to do something. And I can just imagine, you know, Jesus looking deep into her eyes and with great compassion at this point, even drawing her closer to his face and saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And Jesus spoke a couple words, three, Lazarus, come out. And he did. Friends, I'm sorry, but a red balloon is a red balloon. This story in John reveals to us how the Holy Spirit was working through the words of Jesus. Turned a revelation that made no sense to an unbeliever into a powerful truth. The dead in Christ will live. Wow. That's good news today, isn't it? I mean, there's got to be an amen in there somewhere. The human mind, left on its own, cannot understand the truth. However, the good news to the soul is that in faith we can believe it and we can live within it with this great and awesome assurance given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to leave this place today, you know what I'm going to do? And, you know, why don't the praise team come up? We're going to sing a song. We Fall Down. And here's what I'd like to do. While we sing this song, and I'll finish the sermon in a minute. I'm going to open these altars, okay? And man, if there's a need, right? It doesn't matter what it is. If there's a need, if you just need to speak to the Lord, or maybe you just want to experience something deeper with the Lord this moment, you know, come on forward. Come forward and kneel at the altar and just give whatever it is to the Lord. Experience whatever God has for you this morning at the altar of God. Now, that altar is not going to save you, but man, it's a wonderful place to have a supernatural visitation from the God of the universe. So for us today, as we draw this to a close, the question's not what is truth, but it is and it always has been, who is the truth?